Presión rival, Fernando a la derecha, el control con el pecho, con calidad de Rakitic, va a poner el centro nuevamente. ¡Gol, gol, 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 gol,
edition of the Munchies Men podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lau, with my good friend Eddie up in Canada. What and up? My buddy Steve up in Minnesota.
How's it going?
Good. Today we're going to be talking about the match that happened earlier today with Real Madrid, Sevilla FC versus Real Madrid. We're going to be talking about the Champions League victory midweek. And what that sets up, also talking about the Copa del Rey coming up, first game in that cup series. So, guys, we all thought we were at least going to have a point today. We almost had a point. And close. I think Lopetegui was doing everything he could to solidify that point, maybe. I don't know, but he didn't do enough or made some moves too early, and you just can't, with that team, too much quality there to just sit back and play defense for 15, 20 minutes. So, Eddie, man, after the goal for Sevilla, what happened?
I guess we were just doing our normal game, similar to midweek. We score the goal and we try to rely on our defensive structure to see the game out. And that probably would have worked out. Unfortunate for Bono, he chose this game to make a mistake. It's not often that he has howlers, but he did have one against Real Madrid last year. So is it the big games that are getting to him? I don't know. It's possible. But I felt like we would have done enough to get the win today if we had just stuck to our guns. But yeah, you need big performances when you come to the Bernabeu. These big grounds in La Liga where we hardly get any points, you need big performances, and unfortunately that wasn't the case.
I'll hold my thoughts because I've got some thoughts around that. But sure. Steve, what did you think today?
I actually, after a couple of hours have gone by and I'm looking back on it, I'm not all that disappointed with the result. Obviously we lost and you want to win or at least grab a point on the road in games like this, especially against the top teams in the league. But up until the final 15 minutes or so of the game, we were kind of clicking on all cylinders. Things were moving well. Bono had the mistake on the first goal that they allowed. I'm not really too concerned about that. There was some hand-wringing on the forums, and Twitter was all a Twitter, I guess, about that. But I mean, if it had been any other player on our team, I think that, or most other players on our team that made a mistake of that caliber, I think I would be a little bit more upset about that. But Bono has proven game in and game out that he is a high quality goalkeeper, and these are not common for him. I'm willing to overlook something like this. If we are going to get the quality of play going forward that he's shown that he can give us in the past. And then that second goal that they gave up, you can't really defend against that. Like, that was just, it was a golazo. I mean, it was beautiful. Like, I hate to say it, but I mean, it was, I mean, yeah, like you can't be upset about it. Like, sure, you could play it a little bit tighter, and in the defensive formation, but I mean, really, like that was very impressive. It was beautiful. It would have been more beautiful had it been one of our players doing it, but you know, that's neither here nor there at this point. The game's over. And it was really in, like, at the, I don't know, 75, 76 minutes when we started making some subs and sitting back trying to get a point, that we kind of fell apart. I feel like Chris, you and I talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. You can't sit back on teams like this because they have the quality all over the pitch and they will make you pay. They will wait for their time and they will make you pay. And that's what happened. That's where we found ourselves. But the team was playing well. The team was playing exciting football. And for the majority of the game, like things were clicking. And if we can continue that into the rest of this year, this calendar year, through the rest of December, I think we're going to be in a pretty good spot. Like, this is the type of football that we need to play to be successful, especially with this tough stretch coming up in December.
There's some good thoughts there, and let's break them down. So, you know, going into this match, Sevilla was still underdogs, no matter where we were in the place. You know, we haven't won in Madrid in 11 years. It's been that long since we won there. Now 12 after today. So, you know, going in, nobody really expected us to win. I thought we could get a point like we did last year. But and we played well. We were the better team for 75 minutes of this game today, in my opinion. Maybe not 75, but pretty close to 75 minutes. I think Lopetegui made some key decisions that he could have changed his sub pattern to help out this team, and he didn't do it. And I'll get specifically on the Vinicius goal where you say there was nothing we could have done. I'm going to disagree with that because both of those players on that right-hand side were getting gassed. You could tell. Ocampo slowed down. Montiel slowed down. They were both on yellow cards, so they were both playing a little bit cautious. And you did nothing to provide them support over there. That was my biggest part of Lopetegui's sub pattern today that he kind of screwed up, in my opinion.
I mean, you can't blame that on the players, though. Like, that's a fault of Lopetegui at that point.
That's
like
what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah, okay. That's Lopetegui. Like, he should have recognized that both of those players were getting a little gassed. Ocampos was great today. He was just absolutely a workhorse, put in a great shift. Phenomenal. Probably man of the match for me, maybe Acuna, but I mean, just great match, in my opinion, from Ocampos. But you need to recognize that he's done, right? He's gassed. If not him, at least Montiel. Bring in a Gustafsson or whatever you have to do there. It's not his natural position, but you got to do something here to provide at least some additional support. Maybe even a Gadeli, go three in the back and protect that one point. I was surprised we didn't do that today. Anyway, so I think that's my biggest gripe. None of the subs that came on provided anything for this team, I didn't think. Right? Like, impactful sub today?
Oliver doing his usual pirouette on the ball, and I don't know. Delaney was brought in to just add more solidity in that midfield. I think that's Lopetegui wanting, to keep that balance with the team. But I feel like we weren't doing enough to hurt Real Madrid anyway. Preface this, I missed a majority of the first half. I know we were playing well in that first half, but and I had a lot of the ball. But we usually do that where we dominate teams with possession, but don't do enough with it. Even in the second half, I feel like Real Madrid just allowed us to have the ball and they just sat back because we weren't going to hurt them anyway. I'm kind of like, I don't know if this is an Italian trait, but they lead you in a false sense of security to make you believe as if you have control of the match. But eventually they will do their thing at the end of the match and win the game. They usually score late anyway. So once they took over in the last 15 minutes, you felt like danger might have been coming from somewhere.
You knew it was coming, right? I felt it was coming. I mean, it didn't surprise me when they scored. You could just tell our team was being defensive. You know, Mir was up there by himself for a majority of that second half with no support from the midfield. There was no link up. Papu, I thought, was just absent today. I mean, he did some things where he dropped back and brought the ball up, but I just didn't think he was very creative today at all. I don't know. Second half, non-existent. So I guess, you know, the sub thing, Delaney was the only one that actually, I think he did have a shot on goal. Was it a header or something he did? I remember seeing his name there late. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the part that Eddie missed, just to kind of, you know, highlight that, because we started great. We were
on the ball. Them on our heels. Yeah,
they were on their heels. The commentators was like, what is this? This is they're terrible. Carvajal was horrible that first half. He had a terrible first half, giving the ball away left and right, which almost led to our second goal, where Mir had the ball, had Courtois, I'll say it right next time, out of the goal. Shot it on goal, great save off the line, bounced around, had another shot, you know, right after that. Just, you know, lots of opportunities there early on. We took advantage on the Acuna corner, found Rafa unmarked, and Rafa with a great header to the back post from far out. Like, he had to do everything on that. So, good deal on him. That was a great, great scoring header from him.
Weren't we just slandering him last week? And now he delivers.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I was totally on him last week.
Come on.
Totally on him last week. He got his confidence midweek. He got his confidence midweek. That's what it was.
Got to be it. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, and then Ocampos almost got the second for us in the 30th minute. He had a beautiful shot that hit the post that almost went in. That would have made Vinicius's goal probably second fiddle on that one today if that would have went in. So close, you know. Bono wasn't a mistake. It was not a good play from Bono. Shot from distance from Metal, hits the post. Well, sorry, Metal. Bono saves it, kind of pushes it aside. It hits the post, comes back over, and lands right to Benzema. That happens for good teams, right? Like, they're always there just to knock that one in. Always happens anyway. So, that's pretty much the first half, except for the penalty. Penalty? No? Was that not a penalty? Ocampos? No. I know what Eddie's going to say.
Come on. How late was that reaction?
Yeah.
And that's Ocampos' reputation, so that probably played against him as well.
That's why he probably didn't get it, right?
No, it's got to be it. Yeah.
But why didn't VAR intervene? It was clear contact on his foot.
There's always contact, right? It's a contact sport, but I don't feel like that was enough for a penalty. Please don't give us that. Please. Like,
reverse. If that was Benzema going into the box or Vinicius and that happened, what would happen?
Well, you know what would happen. This is La Liga, right?
Well, that's the thing, and me and Steve were talking about this prior. You know, we were talking about conspiracies and that sort of thing, and how he's not a conspiracy guy, but there's plenty of examples from this weekend in La Liga that can make you very much a conspiracy. So I've got Steve doing some homework after the episode, and he'll chime in on the forums and let us know what he thinks about that Villarreal-Barcelona match, right?
Well, there was a Depay penalty from the week before, Xavi's debut. That was the biggest dive. I don't even know where the contact was, but they gave it. Referees, especially in La Liga, all referees in general, I think they act from the reactions of the players. They shout and they roll around and stuff. Referees actually respond to that. It's crazy how it works, but they fall for it every time. So
in La Liga, especially, why are we falling for it? Like, you've got video evidence here now. Why are we not trusting the technology?
How does the rule work for VAR in La Liga? I guess I'm not as familiar with it as I am with Major League Soccer. And in Major League Soccer, the VAR referee calls down and says, hey, you might want to take a look at this. And it's up to the referee to say yes or no.
I will, same.
Or I won't. Yeah. Do we know if VAR said take a look at this? Do we know if
today? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they looked at it, but they just didn't feel like it needed to be checked again.
Yeah. I mean, it's there over the Major League Soccer regulars, and I don't want to get on this soapbox too much, but over the regular season for MLS this last year, there have been numerous times where it's come out that they have said, like, the VAR officials have said, take a look at this. And the official on the field that says, no, I saw it in the run of play. I'm not going to go to the monitor and look at this. I think that, that if that's the same as it is in La Liga,
the ref was like, you know, 8 yards from the play, probably thought I had a great view of it. It's a compost. He dove like he is known to do, and we'll play on. But yeah. I mean, everybody that I listen to, announcers during the game, the halftime, the post game, every single person said it was a penalty. So if every other person except for the referee sees it as a penalty, then it's a freaking penalty. Call it. Like, yeah, it was soft. I don't care. There was contact. It impeded him from moving forward. Could he have continued? Maybe, but he didn't. There was contact. He fell. So call it. Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to win by penalty like Eddie doesn't, right? Like, you've always said that, but
I hate him.
If it happens, it happens. Alaba knew what he was doing.
I don't feel like it was that clear cut, though. If Ocampos had reacted immediately, like good divers do, then maybe he would have won the call. But that was horrible.
Should have went down before the contact. Yeah, we might have got a Barcelona call.
Yeah, that was a 3 out of 10 on that
dive. I think the only time we've seen a worse dive than that was the Enesiri dive in the Champions League, the first Champions League match in the group stage.
The first one.
That he actually got a yellow card on. So.
After the half, man, it kind of felt like a cup final. Like, neither manager wanted to do much to change the game until pretty late, right? And they were playing kind of conservative. It felt like they were just playing for extra time, both managers. And then I think Real Madrid made the key subs that kind of changed the game, bringing in what's the young kid's name? I can't say his name properly, so.
Camavinga.
Yeah, and Valverde is the other guy I think they brought on. Yeah, so that changed the game for them. I mean, it just brought a little more athleticism in the back end, allowed Cruz and Modric came off, so it allowed Cruz some more time on the ball, started playing with it a little more, and Sevilla just didn't look threatening from that point on. First half, great. Second half, not threatening at all. So that goes to the manager, I think. You didn't make the changes with subs, but we've seen Lopetegui do this in the past with subs. So maybe he thought by bringing in Oscar, who hasn't played in how long?
Yeah, thanks.
Right? Like, hey, we got an Oscar sighting today, folks. We've been begging for it, but one of the biggest games of the year, the guy hasn't played in forever, and you bring him on before you bring on Munir. I don't. No, but I don't make the big bucks.
That might be a coaching tactic because a lot of the games Oscar was playing last season, he played in every single Champions League game last season, I think. So I feel like for creative players, Lopetegui might be the kind of coach where he might test them in big moments. So if you're really a special player and you could do some big things in games, let me put you into the lines then and make something spectacular happen. Maybe he's that kind of coach. I don't know if that's an old school approach, but I feel like that's what it was with Oscar there, especially being a former Real Madrid academy player. But I don't know. I don't think that was going to change the game anyway. We need, and on our team, we don't have pace like that to threaten opponents on the counter. We're very one-dimensional. I feel like that's why
Real Madrid was so comfortable
sitting back, because Sevilla's not going to punish us. Let's just soak this in, and then
Many times today, like Rakitic had a counter that he had to just stop. Mir twice, I think, and just stop. There was one point where they played the advantage, and I'm like, why? That's not an advantage.
Give us a free kick.
Give us a free kick. We're much more dangerous on a set piece. So,
you kind of got the sense that Real Madrid was content just sitting back. And, you know, if the game ended in a tie, it ended in a tie. But they were confident that we weren't going to score again. And if something opened up and they could score, that they would take that opportunity. They would jump on it, which is exactly what happened. But it was very much so. I mean, you could tell that that was kind of the way that the game was going. And I mean, it worked, and you can't fault them for that because, like you said, we don't have the pace to keep up with that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, we've seen it time and time and again against Real Madrid. They always find a late equalizer with us, whether it's Sergio Ramos or Vinicius. He's done it to us in prior matches too. So
beautiful goal. After doing nothing all game, that was a beautiful goal.
That's what's so sad is our fullbacks played really well today, excellent until that moment. You know, Montiel had a great game against Vinicius, and then that one lapse where those guys were just dead on their feet, just couldn't defend any longer. So
I feel like they dared him to shoot because of how he was performing all game. He had that breakaway. You know, the old Vinicius came up, had that breakaway, and he hit it way over the bar. It's like, okay, yep, we're getting that Vinicius today. And then they kind of, you know, sagged off from him, let him take the shot. Because usually we're, like, the blocks, we're there with the blocks, right? Whether it's Diego Carlos, Koundé, they have each other's backs. Any shots that comes in, we're there blocking them. That's what's been, that's why our defense has been so strong. We're always attentive with those situations. But I think they dared him to shoot, and damn, what a shot, man.
Yep, undefendable. So with that, Madrid takes clear possession of first place in the league, 4 points ahead of Atletico Madrid and Real Sociedad, who did lose this week. So we got a little break there, but we couldn't take advantage of it. Sevilla drops to fourth. We're 5 points behind Real Madrid now, and only 1 point ahead of Real Betis. So
do we still have a game in hand against Betis?
We do, yeah. and a game in hand against Sociedad too. So
yeah, a game in hand is not necessarily looking as promising as it did early in the year. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what happens on the 21st.
Same games as Real Madrid and Atletico. So
yeah,
all three of us are even on game. So, man, I mean, final stats of the game: 14 shots for Real Madrid. 4 on target. Sevilla had 11 shots, 6 on target. So lack of finishing again, man, that just killed us today. Madrid did get the possession at the end, 53-47. That's pretty much it. I mean, Sevilla, great performance, just couldn't finish. And we've said that in the past. It just bit us again today. So next up in the league, Sevilla have our old boss, Mr. Emery, a very pissed off Mr. Emery right now, traveling to the RSP. That's Saturday, December 4th, 8 a.m. Eastern. Villarreal, hard done by the La Liga refs, so they're going to be itching to get back on the winning side of things. So we'll see where that goes. Switching to better news. Sevilla did play an excellent game of football midweek against Wolfsburg in a must-win game. They had to win that, right? And they did it. They took care of the job. Lineup almost the same as what we saw today, except for Munir started up top.
Yeah.
And, got the goal early, which I think was needed to kind of –
yeah,
motivate these guys, right? I think we needed that early goal, and took care of it from there. I mean, dominating performance. It wasn't just a victory. It was domination by this team, in my opinion. I thought we played really well. Granted, I was at work and not doing work, of course, watching the game, but I was there, so I did get distracted. But from what I saw, we were dominating. 13th minute in, Jean Jordan with his first goal in almost a year, got his first goal of the year, Champions League goal at that. And what a ball by Ivan Rakitic. Can we just talk about that ball?
It was gorgeous.
Unbelievable assist.
Our two favorite starting center midfielders combining to give us the lead. You got to love it, right?
the ones that we've been complaining about starting together all year.
They can't play together.
Hey, you'll get the score.
But yeah, like you said, great that we scored early to, you know, to ease the pressure off us, because if it remains scoreless, we're not really the team that scores a lot of goals. So you're wondering, where is this goal going to come from? So good on us to score early. I feel like Wolfsburg was content with sitting back a little bit just to see what would happen. But to their detriment, we really went at them from minute one. And it paid off with Jordan. I hope he scores more, because I need to see those more of those celebrations. He's always happy. Whenever anybody scores, he has the best celebration anyway. But we need more goals from Jordan. I love that running into the box and making the numbers there. And, you know, getting those type of goals like a box-to-box midfielder would.
Great, yeah. Great header. What did you think, Steve? I saw you make a comment about his header on the forum, something about unorthodox or something.
The cross was beautiful, but the header was just like, in real time, when you watched it initially, it was just like, what is he like? It was like it like piddled off of his head, it looked like, into the corner. I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's like no authority on that. And then you watch it back again. It's like, okay, like he's coming at it. He kind of dove for the header earlier than he would have liked. And it was like he was salvaging like a fall into a header. And I was like, okay, like that, there's a lot more athleticism there than just it looked from the initial shot. But I think the fact that it was Jordan is great. I mean, it's good that he scored. But that goal really came down to the cross by Rakitic. Like it could have been anybody at the end of that that cross. Gorgeous. Into the box there. And that I feel bad that the assist is kind of taking stealing the thunder from the goal itself. but I mean, it was a thing of beauty, and that's something that we haven't seen out of Rakitic as much as we would have liked when he came back to us. So to see glimpses of it is kind of bittersweet, because we're happy that it's happening when it happens, but there could be so much more magic there than there is.
Yes. You contrast those two games, today versus Wednesday, right? How many times did you see Jordan and Rakitic in the box today compared to what you saw on Wednesday? The contrast is totally different. Like that game Wednesday, Jordan was all around the front of goal. You just didn't see that. Now, granted, you've got defensive responsibilities that are probably different today with Modric and Kroos and Casemiro even in the midfield. I mean, that's a little different than Wolfsburg's midfield, but still, I didn't see those kind of same runs into the box that we saw on Wednesday today. We get the sealer there in extra time. Ocampos, who had another great game Wednesday, gets the assist. Nutmegs a defender, gets in deep, crosses face of the goal, and Rafa Mir is on the backside, taps it in. Sevilla clear winners this game, 2-0 victory, 62% possession, 15 shots, 7 on target on Wednesday. Wolfsburg only had 1 shot on goal, so no threat, no teeth there. So good match, sets up a very, very important last match day on the 8th of December. That's a Wednesday, 3 p.m. We've got to go to Salzburg and win. It's win or nothing for this team, pretty much. I mean, we can still finish third, but everything's in our hands. We win the group. So, well, we could win the group, right? Lille can still win, depending on what Lille does. But
there's so many scenarios in that group.
If we win, we're through, though, right? Like, I think all the math checks out. Where if we win, we are through to the knockout.
Exactly right. Yeah, we finish first or second, depending on what Lille does. Lille sitting on 8 points, Salzburg's on 7, Sevilla on 6, and Wolfsburg on 5 in that group. So anybody can still make Europa in that group. I think it's one of the more exciting, if not the most exciting group left in the Champions League.
I think everybody can still make the knockout stage. Wolfsburg can still make the knockout stage.
They can finish second in the group, yeah.
Which, I don't know, it's... I did not think we would be playing in such a competitive group when we had the draw back in, I don't know when it was, like August or early September, but it's coming down to the wire.
And No. I think that's cap. We made this group competitive. Like, we entertained these guys. This is all our fault.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Like we should not be in a situation where this is.
Everybody thinks we're the best team in the group. And we still probably are the best team in the group, but we haven't proved it until these last two matches. I have no doubt we're going to Salzburg and winning. I think this team, or that's just how Sevilla is, right? Like, your back's up against the wall. We normally do it. So we'll see. Maybe not, but I think we win. What do you think? Predictions?
We win. Come on.
Yeah, we've got it.
This is Sevilla. Like, we're going to win this. We always make it, you know, nervy. Like, we make these kind of scenarios happen. It should have been so clear cut from the beginning when we got that group. Lucked out immensely. Teams like Milan have Liverpool, Atletico, and Porto in one group. And we have to rely on a match day six away in Mozart's hometown to advance. It's crazy. And not guaranteed first place anyway. So I think it's crazy. I don't know. I think this is the performance wasn't that great. I think for that game, we got the goal. We tried to add more to the score, but we were going to settle for that. I feel like Munir didn't really give us much presence up front.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't really think that's his fault, but.
But he link up really well, I thought, with Jordan and Rakitic. And I think that's why they were getting forward more. Seemed like they were doing a lot of 1-2, like, passing that kind of freed up some space. But more than what we saw today with Mir, where it was more Mir having to play hold up and then lay off. Munir was doing some quicker passing, I think. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. I feel like this is what we're going to get, though. I don't know how much Lopetegui is going to improve us. I mean, it's just one match. Like, going back to the Real Madrid result, it is just one match, but I feel like this is it. Sure, we could have Lamela at the back, and then maybe Papu could play in his preferred position, but how much better is Lopetegui going to make this team? I still have reservations because I want to see it to the end. This team could still improve. He has been improving the team every season, so there's no reason why he won't. But I feel like we're close to the ceiling for Lopetegui and Sevilla.
That's an interesting comment. I saw something from Travis Nix on Twitter. He's I don't know if he's actually on the forums or not, but he's definitely a US-based Sevilla fan. And he said, you know, our midfield is simply too old and too defensive to win the league. It'll get us third or fourth place, but this is our last shot for a decade to actually have a shot at winning something big. And I think he doesn't think it's going to happen because of just Lopetegui's style and how defensive we are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Don't really have a whole lot to add other than, I mean, yeah, I'm what you had just mentioned there, Chris. The window for us to be consistently competitive with the top spot in the league is closing rapidly. You see the young talent that the powerhouses of this league are bringing through, and the signings that they are lining up over the next year and a half or so that are rumored to come into Madrid or Barcelona. We're going to be in a spot where it's going to be tough to secure that. So if we miss out on this window, it is going to be more difficult. Obviously anything can happen, but it's going to be much more difficult.
Yeah, Vinicius Jr. was the difference today, and we don't have a Vinicius Jr., right? We don't have world-class talent in amongst our attackers. I mean, I'd like to think of Papu Gomez as world-class, but he hasn't shown that with Sevilla, unfortunately. Ocampos, I'm not sure with Ocampos. He works hard. He works hella hard, especially completing the 90 minutes midweek and nearly completing 90 minutes in this one. But I feel like that's is the quality. I feel like our front six is not good enough to challenge. And this is a bit of a hot take. I feel like Fernando is always our MVP, but I feel like we need a different style of defensive midfielder to for the kind of football that Lopetegui wants to play. Maybe someone that's better on the ball, but Fernando works there, so it's not really the most important thing to change. But I feel like if he had more of a Busquets style defensive midfielder, it would really help to play a lot, develop in the final third.
That's a good, as you said, hot take, but it's actually, I find at times to be accurate. And I think we saw that with a Delaney start. I don't remember the match that it happened in, but you saw a lot more forward passing. I think with Fernando, you get a lot of side-to-side passing. Mm-hmm. Delaney provided a little bit more forward passing, and I think that's a little bit of what we're missing in this squad is going through the middle. And we've said that many times on this podcast. And to your point, right? But it's the first time we've mentioned Fernando in a kind of negative light, which seems blasphemy. It sucks
because the Wolfsburg game, the last goal, it didn't show live because they're showing a replay, but Fernando made the interception to get it to Ocampos for the cross for Rafa. So it's like,
I saw it. Yeah. He did a sliding challenge there and won the ball. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The guy's amazing at 34 years old. And he does that. And today's, he's an important part of the team. You couldn't have done what we did today without Fernando, I don't think. You know, we didn't win, but we played really well, and I think he was a big piece of that. Speaking of big pieces, another cup for Sevilla to play in this midweek, December 1st. Welcome to December. So Wednesday, 1 p.m. start here on the East Coast. That's 7 p.m. in Sevilla. Sevilla will take the short ride, or they can't fly to Cordoba, right?
Oh, they better not. I really hope they don't.
Maybe a train ride. I don't know how they. I bet they fly. I bet they do fly. Yeah. Do they? This seems crazy. I would love to know the logistics behind this because it's, what, an hour to Cordoba, maybe drive time from Sevilla?
I'm not sure.
I think it's an hour. Maybe I've only less ever gone than by an train. Hour.
Yeah, I've only ever gone by train, so I don't know what the drive time is.
It's a really fast train ride.
Yeah.
20 minutes, you're there probably.
It's like, go over there for lunch and come back.
I mean, with COVID, I'm sure they're probably going to fly, but it just seems like a waste to go up in the air and then come right back down. Maybe they'll take the team bus. I don't know.
You spend more time on the tarmac than you do actually on the train to get there.
Right. I'm always curious about the logistics of this stuff. I would love to know about it. But anyway, so the start of the Copa del Rey, Cordoba's no slouch, guys. That's going to be a tough trip for Sevilla, I think. They're Cordoba sitting first in their group in Segunda. Are they in Segunda or the third tier? I'm not exactly sure. But they are top of their group, whatever that is. I'm assuming that's third tier. So whatever. Anyway. Decent team, no easy task. I didn't think it was a good draw when I saw it. So another Andalusian team. So they're going to be they're going to come guns blazing for us. Any thoughts, Eddie, on that one?
Well, come on, don't pull a Lopetegui here and start banging up Cordoba now. Come on, man. We're going to win that game. I know it's going to be tricky. It's away from home. It's a one-off, which I like. For this, for the Copa del Rey, but we should win that. I mean, hopefully we get to see some French players. Hopefully, don't play 4-3-3 because I'm really tired of that play style with Lopetegui. I mean, we play 4-2-3-1, but with Rakitic, you can't really tell. But hopefully, Oscar gets more minutes. Maybe Idrissi because I mean, we don't really have a left wing still. Other than Acuna bombing down the left, but I feel like we win that comfortably.
I would agree. We have to go in there and just do our job basically. But I will say that this is, from a neutral standpoint, this is my favorite competition that the Spanish teams play in every year. Since they have made the changes to the competition structure, where you don't play two legs and you're always at the lower divisions, home stadium.
Best thing, it's best so exciting. Thing ever.
You never know what's going to happen. You've got Real Madrid losing to a third or fourth division team. 2 years ago, we lost to a fourth division team. And it wasn't even like we just dropped the ball. It was like we got outplayed by this fourth division team. And it's like, it's so exciting. So I hope we win. We have the skill to win. We've got the players to win. But this is not going to be a gimme, and it should make for a very exciting match. So I'm very excited to watch this game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. That's going to be fun. These games are always fun now. You know, you get to see these small stadiums. Cordoba's got a nice stadium from what I understand, like a really pretty stadium. So you always get to see like the difference in, you know, I always go back to logistics. Like when we played some small team last year, it was in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, where's this team stay? Because you can't put this team in a 3-star hotel, right? Like these guys have reputations and stuff. Like the nearest 5-star hotel is like 45 minutes to an hour away in Bilbao, I think. So
staying at the Spanish version of a Best Western. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Hey, you guys go to the local hostel and enjoy their free breakfast. Geez. So that's on Wednesday. Get ready. It's going to be fun. Another Andalusia Derby. Other stuff going on. We got the women. They travel Saturday just down 20 minutes from the RSP to Real Betis. It's the El Gran Derby de Femenino. I don't know how it is called, but it's a Grand Derby, right? Like you got to call it a
Grand Derby. Yes.
Yeah. So 6 a.m. Saturday. You waking up for that one, Eddie?
I'm going to try. We play early Saturday morning as well against Villarreal.
We play at 8.
Ooh,
so
that's true.
Finish up one and just roll right into the other.
Get a nice appetizer.
That's early.
But yeah, it is early. Yeah,
especially for Steve.
5 a.m.
5 a.m. for Steve. maybe we'll all get up. We'll get on this little chat and just see what everybody looks like at 6 a.m. before coffee. Sevilla Atletico, they picked up the victory this morning against Costa Brava. Came back from behind. They went down 1-0 early. Juan Lu and Lucimi both score to win that one. They play Saturday at noon. So just a Sevilla day there on Saturday. Lots of stuff going on.
Is that two wins in a row for Sevilla Atletico?
Two wins in a row. Finally off the bottom, moving up the table as it should be. Maybe the kick in the pants with the new managers, the way to go.
Maybe.
And what? Three or four. This is the fourth game with the new manager, I think. Two wins out of four. Not bad.
Should that happen with the senior team? I don't know. That's a joke. But
depends on who you ask on the forum.
I feel like we need to start a chat on the forum about this. Like it hasn't been talked about enough yet.
There's a weekly update about whether we like Lopetegui or not. But I don't know. It was, for me, watching the game today, I was having more fun watching Real Madrid. I'll be dead honest. Ferland Mendy crossing over Jordan in the middle of the park there. I mean, Vinny Jr. sometimes, but Carvajal, I feel like, is a very understated fullback. A very, like, going forward. I mean, he had his thing in the first half, sure, but his overall game, like going forward, and the fullbacks knowing how to attack and defend, you don't have too many of those. But, and Modric, of course, Modric and Cruz, like, are just world class, right? But I don't know. It's just sometimes it's boring watching Sevilla, yes.
Sure. 25 days since anybody's commented on the opinions of on Lopetegui thread on the forum.
Just so. I threw my streak in there right now. I threw my graph in a different thread last week. So We'll have to.
So you heard it here first. The Monty's Men Forum now has graphs courtesy of Steve. So come check it out. Come check out all the Excel comments. All the fun chats we're having on there. Guys, anything else before we hang off and go back to work here on Monday? And well, it's almost Monday as we're recording this.
Just a comment from Ben in Manchester. Yes, I'm gutted, but we can be proud of that performance. It's not all over yet. We're still in the title race, and we've got to bounce back against Villarreal next weekend.
Yeah, that echoes how I feel about that perfectly. Like, we lost, and that sucks. We played a good game, and if you couple that with a game we played midweek in Champions League, there's a lot of really positive results that we can take from these two matches and take it into what is going to be a gauntlet of December for us to finish out this calendar year. So if we can keep going with this, we'll be in a really good place.
Agreed.
Yeah. So disappointing today. I thought we had a point. But you could see it 15 minutes left. We were going to have a point, but we are going to win Wednesday. We're going to get back on the winning streak in La Liga Saturday, and we're going to take care of the Champions League on Wednesday of the following week. And until then, guys, I don't have anything else to say, but vamos, mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Y nunca te rindas. Pues 50.